Turn to Judges chapter 7. Just making sure you're listening. And praise God. Amazing worship. And so, Judges chapter 7. Father, just bless these words. Just thank you for clearing up the weather. And we just pray for just everybody in their seats right now. Minister to us. Speak to us. Thank you for the beautiful worship. And we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Judges chapter 7. I'll get you a little caught up and go through Judges chapter 6 with you just to give you context. So we're talking about Gideon right now. And when I was reading this, I'm like, it could be like a comedy movie. Like, I hope, there's just so much meat in here, but it's just very comical almost too as well. How, like, God used Gideon and how Gideon was, and we could very relate to Gideon. And so in Judges chapter 6, Israel is in bondage for 7 years to the Midianites. And who knows why they were in bondage? Why were they in bondage? Anybody know? Rebelled. What was that? Sin. Yes. So one, and it says in chapter 6, verse 10, all it says is in the bottom part, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Obedience. And so they didn't obey God's voice. God let them out, had Joshua, many great victory battles, Moses, whatnot, all these stories. And they seem to have fallen away from being obedient and hearing God's voice and being sensitive to God's voice. And so what does God do? He raises up a man, and his name is Gideon. And first, he sends him an angel, and Gideon is threshing wheat in a wine press. And you're not really supposed to do that, because wine presses are to press wine, and Gideon here is threshing wheat because he's in fear. He's in fear, and he's just scared of the Midianites and what they might do if they find him. And so we already have Gideon. He's already a timid, fearful man. And he approaches. This angel comes to him in verse 12 in chapter 6. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Gideon's like, he's pressing his wheat. And he's like, "What? Mighty man, me?" And that could be just like us too as well, right? Just common folk. And we're going to see a lot of that. Gideon's just a normal person. He's very fearful, very timid. But the angel says, "You're a mighty man of valor." Like, how God sees us compared to how we see ourselves. Like, the angel's like, "You are a mighty man of valor." And Gideon's like, "Really? Me?" "Yes, and there's like a lot of you in here today. Sandon, you're a mighty man of valor. Do you believe that?" "Amen." "Yeah, Eva, mighty woman of valor." "Amen." Who else do we have? Ryan Horton, for sure, mighty man of valor. Even his brother Seth, mighty man of valor. Praise God. Where's Omai? Omai's in here? He looks like a mighty man of valor already, so maybe he's a giant man of valor. "You are a mighty man of valor." Amen. Oh, praise God. So, to think how God sees us is way different than how we see ourselves. And so I can't be introspective and always looking at myself. I'm not qualified. I can't do this. I lack this. And we do this all the time. And God says, "This is exactly why I want to use you." And so he calms him. A mighty man of valor. And what does Gideon do? He doubts. And then in verse 15, God comforts him again and builds him up. And don't we need that? We need continual encouragement. We doubt. We go back in our shells. But God says, "No, I'm going to use you. And I'm going to save Israel through you." And verse 16, he doubts again. Gideon doubts again. He says, "But I'm from a low class, I'm of the poorest family." But then God builds him up again, and he gives him, he's like, "Show me a sign." Gideon says, "God, show me a sign." and he shows him a sign. And so Gideon's now is built up. He's pumped up, right? And we could be like this, you know, God gives us something. And we are all pumped up, excited, and we go out. And then God says, now go take down an altar. Go take down this altar. And what does Gideon do? He does it. He actually does it. But he took 10 men with him. He took 10. But that, isn't that like us? Like, I love it. He's like a homebody. He likes people around him. Like, and that's just like us. We love people around us to encourage us, to build us up. And Gideon is always using people. He's never alone. He always wants people by his side. And it could be a weakness, but it was his strength. And so Gideon takes 10 people, and he takes down the altar. And then later on, in that same chapter, chapter 6, just follow me. You guys are good? I'm just giving you context right now, okay? So now God, the Spirit says, it comes upon Gideon. And he says, now I'm going to use you to take down the Midianites, the army. And what does Gideon do, you think? What? You didn't think he sprouted up after the victory he already had once? No, he doubts. He doubts just like us. We doubt all the time. And God still uses us. And that's the grace of God in our lives. And so he's so gracious with Gideon. Gideon's like, I need another sign. And he gives him another sign with the fleece. You know the fleece, the story. You could read that in chapter 6. But we'll get into verse 7 now. In verse 9, we'll start. And so God says that, you know, I'm going to use you now to defeat the Midianites, and there's a big, you have a big army, you have many people, and so I'm going to diminish the people. I'm going to diminish them, and says, whoever's fearful and scared, just send them back home. And so it cuts the army drastically. And then God says, no, it's still too big, still too many people for me. And so send them by the water, whoever laps like a dog, send them back, and whoever bends the knee and drinks with their eyes up, those are the ones you want. So he cuts this huge army down to 300. Down to 300 people. And in verse 9, God wants to encourage him even more before he sends him out. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I had delivered it into thine hand. Ain't that amazing? He's already delivered them into our hand without us even going, without us even doing the work. And isn't that what we preach? The finished work? Like, I don't, the victory's already won. I'm telling you this, but just what? Obey my voice. Just be obedient. I know you're fearful. I know you're timid. And we could have that, but it's not a spirit of fear, right? Because he did not give us a spirit of fear. We have a natural fear, like we have a lion is coming or a predator is coming or something dangerous, and we get fearful, but God does not give us a spirit of fear. Amen? And so he says in verse 9, arise, I've given you, I've delivered it into thine hand. I love that. This is why it's a comedy to me. Verse 10, but if thou fear, God's speaking to him, but if you fear, go down with Pharaoh, go down with him, thy servant, down to the host. And what does he do? He goes with Pharaoh. He takes him, of course. Isn't that, God already knows. He's like, if you fear, just take him. Just take a brother with you. And like, we need that often, just like having a close friend, having a close brother we can go to and go with. You know, God has told me something, but I want someone with me to experience this. And so what does he do? He shows him a vision. He goes down with Pharaoh into the camp of the Midianites, the enemy, just secretively at night. And they come across two people talking about a vision that a loaf of bread came into the camp and destroyed the tents. And that means that loaf of bread was Gideon. How'd you like to be called that? You're a loaf of bread. but it does the job. And the loaf of bread that is used here, it says a barley cake in verse 13. You're a piece of barley cake. And that was just like what the common folk ate. It was just a common piece of bread, low class. You're not really much, but that's all I need. You're a piece of bread. And Gideon was encouraged by that. Gideon said, I'm a piece of bread. I come on. And so this is where we pick up now in verse 15. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he worshiped and returned into the host of Israel and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And that's an amazing point right there, that in verse 14, you could look, the interpretation says, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian. Like, he could have heard that and said, like, oh, it's me. Oh, in my hand, I can do it. But in verse 15, he says the interpretation, what does it say? Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand. He's encouraging others. He's not saying, I'm going to do this, follow me. He's like, no, you're going to do it, and you're going to do it, and we're going to do it together. And just the encouragement that this common person, Gideon, had, fearful person, but what did he do? He obeyed God. He was just obedient to God, and that's all it takes. Verse 16, so he divided 300 men into three companies. Listen to this. He put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and a lamp within the pitcher. What in the world is going on here? A trumpet. Can you imagine? Like, you're like one of the line, like the guys that are picked. You're expecting like a bow and arrow or something, like a nice spear, and you get a trumpet and a pitcher with a candle in it. Like, what? There's no question there, though. You read it. There's no question from the army. There's no question. They take it and they're like, yeah, let's go. What? This was just the finished work, and the message that Gideon received was just pouring out to him, to other people. And isn't that what we do? We just pour out into other people. Like, you have the victory. God is for you. Who can be against us? So you have a pitcher and a trumpet. And in verse 17, and he said unto them, look on unto me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so ye do. And isn't this just like a picture of Christ? Like, Gideon is a picture of Christ here. As I do, you do. He leads by example. And in John 13:15, Christ led by the example, and he said that exact thing. As I do, you do. Wash each other's feet. And so Gideon says that. And he says in verse 18, when I blow with a trumpet, and I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of the camp, and say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And so they do this. They go into the camp. You can imagine being 300 men. You're outnumbered drastically. You have a trumpet and you have a pitcher. But you have a fearless leader. And you're like, and you're just stirred up. Isn't it? It's like funny almost. But it's a beautiful picture how God could use the common people. And so he says, here's a trumpet, and here's this vessel, and I want you to blow the trumpet and break the vessel. That's it. Blow the trumpet and break the vessel. Gideon said, do as I do. Christ says, do as I do. And what did Christ do? He came into this world and he was broken. His vessel that he was in, his human body, was broken. And what happened after the vessel was broken? That light shined forth. Light shined forth and shed into people's hearts. And you can't see it from the outside. The brokenness It's amazing when you're broken, you can't really see it from the outside. It's not like a broken arm. Oh, that guy's broken. No, you can't see the brokenness on the inside because it's inward. And then when you're broken, there's a light. When God is in your life, there's a light that shines through you. When Christ died on the cross, he was broken, and there was a light that shined. But you can say it was dark throughout. There's darkness throughout the whole scene of that, the cross. But no, there was light that was shining into hearts, shining into his disciples' hearts, to the centurion who looked up and saw the brokenness, and within him, within his heart, he saw that light shine. And he's like, surely this is the Son of God. And so we as common folk, we as fearful folk, we are given an earthen vessel, right? And I like to think of we're given a trumpet too as well. And what is the trumpet? But it's the word of God. A trumpet is used in battle. A trumpet is used to say, hey, the enemy is coming, or retreat to as well. It's to wake people up. It's to show people, it's to warn people that there's truth, there's something coming. And that is the word of God, and the word of God is our trumpet. And we take the trumpet and we break the vessel. And we are vessels. And brokenness is a beautiful thing. When we are broken before people, when we are broken before God, God is able to now shine through you, through your brokenness. Amen. Amen. So now we're going to introduce Zane Turk. We're going to roll right into it. Is that good? Yeah. All right. Amen. Here comes Zane.
That was really good, huh? Wow. Why don't you guys just talk for a minute with your neighbor about what you just heard? A couple minutes, all right? Just let that sink in. All right. So, Lord, we just pray. God, we come to you. We just ask you to really shine your light on these words as you have been already. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for just these words of life. Thank you for these words of life. We praise you, God. We ask that you would just minister further to our hearts this brokenness, this newness of life that you've given us. We just pray for this next week as we go out into our jobs and workplace and as we go to our homes. Lord, we just pray that this brokenness and this inner man can just be a reality to us, that it would just be a reality to us, to all the parents in our church, all the teens, the children, the elderly people, the young adults, Lord, the laborers, the businessmen. Lord, we just pray for all our the members in our church, and we just pray for the fruit from the Franklin Graham meeting that happened today. We pray for the people who heard your word, the people who are going back to their homes and thinking on these things, the new salvations, the new recommitments to you. Lord, just really bless this word. And just breathe your life into it, God. Breathe your life into it. Your Spirit would minister to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, let's read Matthew chapter 5 in verse 15, just to open up. Matthew 5:15. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. People don't light a lamp, put it under a basket, but they put it on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Maybe I was thinking we could sing a song. It's Sunday night, so let's sing a song together. You know, this little light of mine? Can we sing it out? I think we need that right now. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let's get the little snaps in. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. And what's the next part? Hide it under a bushel. No, no. Hide it under a bushel. I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. And where do we get this light? That's the question. What is this light? Right? When Adam was in the Garden of Eden, he had this light. He had his spirit alive to God. But when he ate from the tree, disobedience shut out the light. It was the sin nature that entered into him. In Ephesians 2, it says, "You were dead in your sins and trespasses, but he has made you alive." What kind of death are we living in before Christ? Our human spirit has been dead to God. Our human spirit is dead to the things of God. But when Christ came into our life, he quickened us. He made us alive. In Proverbs 20:27, it says, "The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the innermost parts." And when we are given the new birth, when we are born of the Spirit, we have been given a light. And it's the entrance of his word that gives light in Psalm 119, 130. And that light comes into our heart and it enlightens our mind in Ephesians 1:18. And it gives us a new spirit in John chapter 3. Right? So we've been given a new life, a new heart, a new spirit, and a new way of looking at life. In Romans 7, it says that we have the new way of the Spirit, not the old way of the written code. And it's an amazing thing that our new life consists of this light that is inside of us, right? So when we read Judges chapter 7, amazing chapter, isn't it? Amazing picture. And in Judges 7, they break the pitcher, right? So that the light can shine forth. And I want to talk a little bit tonight. I want to talk about the inner man. The inner man versus the outer man. And this new life that we have is only available because when we are born again, we have the inner man. You know, how many of you have ever, don't raise your hand, it's a little embarrassing. I don't know. Have you ever gotten a little clog in your ear, a little earwax? You can't hear anything. You like move the ear around, you're like working it, and then all of a sudden you can hear, right? No, I'm not the only one, right? We all know we're all humans here. Come on, right? So the dentist will, they might print out a little sheet, a diagram of your ear. And it says the outer ear. We got the outer ear. Let's all touch our ears. It's like soft. You can move it around. It's cartilage, right? That's the outer ear. But on the inside, we have our eardrum. That's the inner ear. We have our outer ear, but our inner ear. Right? And it's the same way with the outer man and the inner man. We have been given a new set of ears, a new way that we hear God's voice, a new way of understanding the words of Christ. But the outer ear always wants to clog it up. It always wants to fill our ear with wax. We can't hear anymore. And it's the same way with the outer man, is that the outer man and the inner man are always battling for that position. They're always battling for who's going to hear, who's going to have control, right? And, you know, when they break the pitcher, when they smash the pitcher, what are they doing? They're living in obedience to the word that Gideon said. Do as I do. Smash the pitcher. Now you do the same. And let me ask a question. What broke first in the life of Christ? Was it the body of Christ on the cross, or was it his will in the Garden of Gethsemane? What broke first? Jesus first had to break his natural will. He first laid his natural way of thinking, his emotions, his reasoning on the altar of God's will, and he let his will go. And a lot of times, I think, in our natural way of life, we pray to God, God, can you break me? God, I want to be broken, but can you break me, right? I've prayed that prayer. God, break me. But what if God says in response, like, is your will broken? Do you want my will or your will more? Because when we want brokenness, we think of the emotions, we think of, we read a passage on the cross and we're crying and we're like, Lord, thank you. That's brokenness. It is. But the other side of that is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 9 and 10, where it says, we carry about in our body the death of Jesus Christ, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. But what does it mean we carry about the body of death with us? It means that we carry the whole crucifixion process, the breaking of the will, the bowing to the Father's will. It was his pleasure to break and bruise the Son. And it's Jesus' will that was submitted to God's will. That is our brokenness. Our brokenness is submitting our will to God's. Our brokenness is breaking the outer man and having the inner man pour forth and feeding the inner man. So I want to read a verse to you in Deuteronomy chapter 20. And maybe we can further drive home this point. Deuteronomy chapter 20. How are we doing? Is everyone good? Yeah, good. It's a nice rainy day, huh? It's hard to wake up from the Sunday afternoon nap when it's raining on the roof. The pitter-patter. Right? We're here. Let's go. It's amazing. Thank you, Lord. Just really say what you want to say, God. Yes, God. Use these words. And let's just say something about the new creation before we read this verse. I was really thinking about this, and a good phrase is this, and it's true. The new creation is my ability to endure a lot of trouble in life and still have a victorious life. The new creation is my ability to endure a lot of trouble in life and still live victoriously. We can't have victorious lives outside of the new creation, because the outer man, like Jesse was saying, is very weak. The outer man thinks that we can do it in our own strength, in our own ability, in our own power. But God is saying, in Judges 7, he's saying, you are too mighty. And if you win the power, if you win the battle with this many people, you're going to say that it was your own strength. You're going to say that it was your own doing. You're going to say that it was your own ability. So I got to weaken you down a little bit. I got to break the outer man. I got to take away your ability. I got to switch up the situation a little bit so you know that it's not your power that's coming through. Right? So then he takes them down to 300. He takes them down to 300 people. And our spiritual authority comes from that submission. Our spiritual authority comes from obedience. And there's a difference between power and authority. Power is our ability to make a cause and effect in a situation. But our authority is the right to exercise that power, right? So a soldier in the army, he can have a heavy assault rifle. He has the power to do it, but his authority is the command from his officer that you have the authority to shoot now, Right? He can't fire his gun unless he's given the authority from his commanding officer. Right? So there's a difference between power and authority. Right? An MMA fighter who's strong and has all the techniques, he is still able to be arrested by a police officer because the officer has the authority given to him. Right? And where does spiritual authority come from? It comes from submission to God. It comes from submitting to God's authority. Right? And do you notice in Judges 7 how when they shout the shout, they blow the trumpet and shout the shout, they say, "This is the sword of the Lord and of Gideon." What were they holding? Were they holding swords? No. Why did they have the ability and the authority to say that it's the sword of the Lord when they had no sword? That's like me and you, is that we have an inner man that is unseen. We have an inner man that was gifted to us in the new birth. This inner man in Romans 7:22 delights in the law of God. This inner man in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16 is strengthened with power according to the riches of his glory so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. This inner man is extremely strong and powerful in the spirit, but it's unseen. And it's not based off the power of our flesh. The inner man is based off the authority of God's new birth. You see, the grave had a lot of power, but Christ had the keys. The grave had the power to take people into it, but Christ had the authority to raise us up into new life. Our power isn't in the flesh of man or the strength of man, but our authority is in the new life that God has given us. Our authority isn't in the numbers that we bring to the fight. Our authority is in the broken pitcher that the outer man falls away in Matthew 21:44. We fall on this new precious stone. We break to pieces, but we're on the foundation. We have the authority of a new foundation when we fall on the stone that is Christ. Amen. And in Deuteronomy chapter 20, in these laws concerning warfare that God gave to the Israelites, he says this in verse 1. When you go out to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army larger than your own, he said, when you see an army that has so much power, when you see an army that has so many numbers and so much might, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And when you draw near to the battle, the priest shall come forward and speak to the people and shall say to them, "Hear, O Israel, today you are drawing near for the battle against your enemies. Let not your heart faint. Do not fear or panic or be in dread of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to give you the victory." Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 4 and we'll close. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I just want to encourage us tonight in this word that the inner man is, it's amazing. The spiritual authority that comes from the breaking of the outer man is the undercurrent of our lives. The spiritual authority that comes from the breaking of the outer man is the undercurrent of our lives. What does that mean? That means that in this new birth, in this inner man that we've been gifted by faith, we have a spiritual authority from God. And if you ever go to the beach, you can see the waves are lapping on the shore. Maybe you can see it's kind of stormy and it's choppy waters. But the inner man is different. The inner man is like the undercurrent. You don't see it, but it's strong. It's very powerful. It's very real. It's very steady. It's immovable. It always is going in the direction that it's supposed to go. No, whatever happens on the surface can happen on the surface, but there's an undercurrent of our spiritual life with Christ that is based on God's doing. It's not based on who we are or what we've done or our doubt or our fear, but the inner man is based on the undercurrent of God's life. Jesus said, a river is going to flow out of your heart, and that is the Spirit of God that is inside of us. The inner man has nothing to do with us except when we live by faith, we can partake in something that is already done for eternity. The inner man is when eternity invades our mentality and we start living with thoughts that are not based on time. The inner man is not bound by time or weariness or tiredness or our schedule that is difficult. The inner man is eternal and has a fellowship with God that is unbroken. That is the inner man. And in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, we see that we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. And I love those three words, to show that. To show that. God's plan from eternity has been that He is going to put His Spirit into earthen vessels. He is going to form man from the dust of the ground and put the greatest treasure inside of you. And man isn't going to see it. He's not always going to be able to feel it. But when he lives by faith, he can tap into an everlasting life that will never leave him the same. And it's going to have nothing to do with him. And it's going to have everything to do with the grace of God. In verse 16, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. And this is the amazing thing. We don't lose heart because the inner man is growing day by day. And in the same way that in Deuteronomy 20, the priest would come out to the warriors and he would say, don't be afraid if their army is greater. In the same way, we have a high priest who has defeated death and passed through the heavens. And he says to us, don't be afraid if the enemy is greater than you, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Our high priest says, don't lose heart, because your outer man is wasting away day by day and your inner man is being renewed. Something unseen, something that is outside of time, something that we don't always feel, but something that is very real inside of us that God has implanted in us and is growing when we feed it with the Word of God and with the body. And like Jesse was saying, we take a brother or two brothers with us and we have a prayer time, or we're able to pour out our heart and our inner man is being renewed. And I want to encourage you guys with that. Although we can't see it sometimes, although we can't feel it, God has said that you are a new creation. You are a new man. You walk in the newness of life by faith, and we are growing day by day. In Jesus' name. Isn't that an amazing message? We have a new man, an inner being. We have the Spirit of God. And our high priest comes to us and says, don't be afraid, because I am with you. I am in you. I am for you. Who can be against you? So, Lord, we just thank you for this message. And we thank you for the inner man. We thank you that You've given us the ability to break the outer man through an obedience, through faith. You've given us the riches of your glory and your grace to strengthen us through your Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, so that we could be rooted and grounded in love, and that we would have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length in the width and the height, to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Yes, Lord, you've done this, and we just receive, and we thank you. And we want to know these things by faith, Lord. And if you've never heard this message, and if you don't even know what it is, the inner man, we just simply say that the inner man is God making you alive to who he is. And it's a new birth by faith. And it can be yours today. If you simply say, God, I need this new birth. I'm a sinner. I need your grace. I need you to save me. I need you to forgive me. I can't do this on my own. And if you said that prayer that you need Christ tonight in your life, could you just raise your hand if you said that prayer that I need Christ in my life? Thank you for that hand in the back. Lord, we just thank you for this new birth. We thank you for the new man, Lord, and we thank you that it's all for your glory. It's all for your glory, Lord. And we just thank you for this time tonight that we're going to have in the prayer and praise, just as Pastor Mark comes up and transitions us into that time of prayer and praise. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.